KBBI's Morning News is sponsored by the Homer Foundation, connecting generosity to community need on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Since 1991, the foundation has provided more than $6 million in local grants and scholarships, helping students pursue education and training that strengthen our communities. Every scholarship tells a story and is an opportunity created by donors who care about the future. Join us and consider how your gift today or planned gift for tomorrow can make a lasting difference. The Homer Foundation, celebrating 35 years of generosity, scholarships, and community.
For Wednesday, February 25th, 2026, I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. Alaska senators moved forward a new version of Governor Mike Dunleavy's tax bill last week. It bears little resemblance to the bill the governor proposed earlier this year as part of his broader fiscal plan. The Senate Resources Committee's version strips out the governor's sales tax proposal, which received fierce criticism from legislators, local leaders, and the public. It also dispenses with the governor's proposal to end corporate income taxes in the early 2030s. And it adds a $20 to $60 yearly income tax to support public education. Alaska Republican Senator Kathy Geisel, who chairs the committee, says the state badly needs the revenue to pay for services that Alaskans expect.
The fact is, we are at the fiscal cliff that has been foretold for at least the last 10 years. I mean, we're not just at it anymore. We are falling over it.
The biggest change to the bill is a major shift to the way the state would calculate oil taxes. Instead of taxing net profits, the state would base its tax on the gross value of the oil itself. Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Willikowski proposed the oil tax change, and he says it's an approach that has worked well in oil-rich states like Texas and North Dakota. He says alongside the state's royalty, it would mean Alaska would take about a third of the value of each barrel of oil.
The reality is, if we're getting a combined gross of right now 16% roughly, and every other state is getting close to 30%, I don't think we're maximizing the value of our oil as we're required to under the Constitution.
The new Senate version also drops some must-haves from Governor Dunleavy's fiscal plan. Dunleavy's tax plan was linked to limits on state spending and a constitutionally guaranteed permanent fund dividend. But with senior senators skeptical of those limits, the new version of the tax plan would stand alone. Fairbanks Senator Rob Myers, a minority Republican, says that means the bill no longer addresses the issues the governor's fiscal plan was intended to solve, that is, making the state's budget more stable and less vulnerable to wild swings in oil prices.
In my personal opinion, oil money and the patterns that it creates is what got us into this mess. And without a full fiscal plan, simply increasing oil taxes and a little bit of corporate tax, to me, is the financial equivalent of trying to cure a hangover with a shot of vodka. We're going the wrong direction here.
Bipartisan majority members passed the bill out of the Senate Resources Committee on a 5-2 vote on Wednesday, with the two minority Republicans opposed. The bill now heads to the Senate Finance Committee, where Geisel says she expects senators to take a closer look at the bill's impact. Senate leaders said earlier this year that funding new revenue was their top priority, but a committee co-chair said last week he wanted to ensure any changes wouldn't derail an expansion in North Slope drilling. Alaska cyclists deal with cold and dark in the winter and sometimes snow, ice, wind, rain, you name it. But some still manage to bike to work every day, even in the winter. Well, as it turns out, Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove bikes to work every day. But how can you convince yourself to go? That's a question Casey set out to answer for the Alaska Survival Kids series.
When I heard Tony Lavario, who works at Alaska Air Cargo, does a daily bike commute about twice as long as mine, I had to check it out. But here's the thing. Tony starts his ride at 6:20 every weekday morning. It was a little earlier than that we sat down to chat quietly while his fish tank bubbled and his wife and four kids slept.
At this point in the day, do you ever have to like convince yourself to bike to work? Is it hard or no?
be brutally honest, sometimes, you know, especially when the weather's, you know, awful. But, you know, you make a commitment, you know, you have it set in your mind that, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. And you know, especially Mondays, you know, Mondays are always tough.
That part about making it a commitment, it's important. And that's our first key point. If you marry yourself to the idea of bike commuting every day, it's a lot harder to break up with that idea. Tony wanted to get more exercise for health reasons, plus his daughter's car broke down, so he started letting her drive his. She eventually replaced her car, but by then, Tony's daily bike commute had become a habit. He was committed. Outside, Tony lifts open his garage door to get his bike, always pointed out and ready to go, and pretty soon we're on our way.
I had a friend ask me, what's your worst trail you've ridden, and what's the best trail? You know, ride to work is always the worst trail, and the best trail is the one coming home.
Tony also eliminates his car from the equation. It's often buried in snow, and his family's cars are always blocking it in. That's our second important point. Make biking the easiest option. It's something Nancy Fresco pointed to. Nancy researches climate change at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, but she's talking to me as an expert on daily winter bike commuting. And she ought to know, Nancy's been a daily bike commuter for 26 years, in a place that saw its second longest stretch of sub-zero days ever this winter, including 11 straight days colder than 40 below. Nancy is absolutely not a gearhead. She's been riding the same bike for 14 years, long enough that its logo has worn off, and she couldn't remember what brand it is. But she makes winter bike commuting easy by investing in really warm clothes.
Because if you don't have the right gear and you're not comfortable and you're getting hot or cold or wet, then that makes the biking feel undesirable and it makes it a difficult choice. Whereas if you do have all of that lined out, it makes it the easy and lazy choice.
There is, of course, the expense of the bike and the gear. Riding with studded mountain bike tires is doable on some days, but a fat tire bike makes it possible most days. And not everybody lives close enough to work to bike commute every day, nor can everyone afford the bike and the gear. So that brings up a third important thing to remember. If you want a bike to work, but you can't do it every day, start out small and don't beat yourself up over it. Try 1 or 2 days a week or a month. Even if a bike and warm clothing costs some money up front, Nancy says it's nothing compared to constantly filling up your gas tank.
Everyone knows that any maintenance on a car is a lot of dollar signs. So yeah, I mean, biking absolutely is cheaper overall.
Along with committing to it, making it the easiest option, and starting out small, there's a fourth really simple thing that can help a lot. Make it fun. Sometimes I'll race to catch up to other people on the trail, riders who have no idea I'm treating it like the end of a stage in the Tour de France. I also track my rides on Strava. A couple years ago, there was a piece of trail near work that my neighbor and I were battling over, vying to be what the app calls the local legend. It caused me to bike an extra couple of miles every day and has become a way of turning an overly familiar bike ride, one that I do about 250 times a year, into a sort of game. Then there are the little things. Back on the ride with Tony, we're almost to his work. He tells me he used to ride with headphones on, but then he forgot to charge them one day.
Riding in the snow, and it's just something about the crunching that is just like, ah, that sounds so good. So satisfying. It's like riding on bubble wrap in this bubble wrap.
I'd have to agree. It's the sights and the sounds that help make the daily ride more fun. In Anchorage, I'm Casey Grove.
And that's this morning's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward through translator K201AO and online at kbbi.org. This morning's newscast included a story from Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone. Stay tuned for the coffee table coming up at 9 a.m. for a discussion on the current legislative session. Thanks for listening and good morning.